Hello and welcome to the Mission Darts podcast. Myself, Matthew Edgar, alongside Andy Cornwall, who, if you aren't watching on the sort of YouTube, if you've not got the visual on, I'm going to describe it for you. He's put a blurry background on so you can't see his bed. And just for reference here, he was up this morning at 5 o'clock, and you know what the expression says. So I wonder why he's blurred it.
Yeah, I'll tell you why I'm blurred. I'm mad as a hatter, Matt, today. I'm not happy. Anyway, treble 11 today. Those of you will get that reference to the episode number. And somebody's nicked my bank card details and started buying stuff to ship from Amazon to France. So I'm not impressed. I've been frauded. It's going through with the bank as we speak. Hopefully it's going to get sorted. But yeah, first time it's ever happened. I'm 53 and I've never, ever had a problem in the past. Until today, but yeah, so that's why I'm mad. That's why there's stuff all over the bed, there's paperwork and everything. I was like, right, I'm gonna have to blur the background today. Did I try that thing last week with one earphone?
Did you? Yeah,
yeah, that's better. Let's do that.
Surely, like, if they've frauded your card and bought a load of stuff on Amazon, they've bought like iPhones or like laptops, like technology. Yeah.
No, goat milk and nappies. Seriously, honestly, like a jumbo pack of goat milk and a jumbo pack of nappies, like 140 something quid's worth of goat milk and nappies delivered to a newsagent in France and picked up in person. Now I thought, ooh, picked up in person. I wonder if they've got a camera. And like, and I'm thinking, yeah, like the police are going to be even remotely interested. And then I thought, and probably the news agent's in on it as well. So, yeah, no, I don't think the perpetrators will be caught. As long as I get my money back, I'm sure Amazon can afford it to write it off. Have you ever been frauded?
I have. When I was younger, it weren't so much fraud. It was more theft. When I was younger, someone broke into my car and took a load of bits out, and I had a card in the glove box at the time, which I don't do anymore, or don't leave anything like in the car. And it was a credit card, and it was probably the only credit card I've ever had in my life. It's probably the only time I've ever spent money on a credit card, because I'm one of those people, you know, like if I want something, I'll either have it, and if I can't have it, I'll save for it, which is a bit trickier when it's a house. But, you know, like if I wanted a car, I wouldn't go, right, I'll just go get the car and finance. If the car were 10 grand, I'd go, right, I've got to save 10 grand because I want the car.
Yeah,
I wouldn't buy it on credit. Because in my mind, I can't compute the fact that if I want that car that's 10 grand, I'm going to have to pay 14 for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I've got to pay in bits. I've got to pay the interest.
Yeah.
I hate paying interest. Like, it really winds me up.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. And just thinking about breaking into your car, I think if somebody broke into your car these days, they'd probably feel sorry for you and clean it. You know, they wouldn't nick anything. I've seen you after the trips away. It certainly is a working vehicle, that's for sure. My God, there's all sorts going on in there, isn't there? Anyway, what have you been up to? Well, I know what you've been up to. You've been jet setting and all sorts of things, as usual, since we spoke to our people. Have you had any more Chateaubriand? That's what I want to know.
I've got two answers for you. Okay. Answer number one, no, I haven't had any Chateaubriand. However, on Sunday, I did go out for breakfast. And for breakfast, I had steak and eggs.
You didn't have steak for breakfast.
Or a lovely juicy piece of steak for breakfast, yeah, with eggs.
How did you manage? That must have been Wetherspoons or something like that, was it?
No, Wetherspoons.
I can't even think of somewhere that would serve steak at breakfast time. That's like
ironically, right? It was steak, eggs, and hash browns.
Ah. Hmm. Okay. That sounds nice, though.
Oh, it's incredible. Imagine us sitting eating a piece of steak in the morning. Yeah. I felt like a king.
Yeah, I quite like that. Okay. So you've gone from beans on toast to now Chateaubriand and steak for breakfast. It's like, you've changed.
The world, you say. I'm doing bits with Sky, doing bits with the PDC, now doing bits with TalkSport as well. So it's like,
busy man.
Things going up in the world. So
busy man. And the good news is, The good news is the people watching this week, Matt, can see you, because as predicted last week, you, all I could see was hear you rather. I couldn't see you because you were freeze framed. That's the way it came out in the video. So everybody sort of saw the same as I did. But this week you're back in England. Oh, and I've just realized, you remember that light that I bought? I haven't turned it on.
I haven't got my light on either, to be fair.
I swear to God, when it comes to tech, there we go. Oh, look at that. Now you can see me. Yeah, when it comes to tech, you and I just need a button that goes, right, everything's on, right, everything's off. Because the minute you've got to think about more than one thing, we've had it, haven't we? We're hopeless.
Do you want to see what my chair does in my studio now? Watch this.
Oh, go on. It reclines. That's perfect for you. That's perfect for you. Yeah, very good. Do you know one thing I've never got? Those standing desks that go up and down. You know? Yeah, you're rocking there. You're going to send yourself to sleep if you carry on doing that, mate. Just any minute now, I'll be talking on my own. You'll be like, in the chair. Yeah, no, those standing desks. You ever use one of them? Apparently, they're better for you, aren't they? Because you're not just standing sat down desks. And press it. Yeah, have you never seen them? So instead of having, you're sat at a desk now, as am I, on a chair, you have a desk that's much higher and you stand at it. And it acts, and the ones I've seen, they're electric and they go up and down. So if you want to sit at it for a while, zzz, down it goes. You bring your chair up, right? And then, right, oh yeah, I need to move about now. Right, zzz, back up it goes and you stand up. Really? It's. I mean, it makes sense.
Andy, my desk cost a tenner off Facebook Marketplace. I ain't got no up and down desk.
Have you got them monitors working yet? Are they just there for show?
No, I genuinely watch. Look, I'll bring my camera off. Look, so I'm using my laptop.
Yeah,
right. I've got one monitor there. Got one monitor there. Like,
yeah, but not on.
The computer's under there. Look, it's not even on.
It's not even plugged in. You've only been in the studio a month. Oh, brilliant!
Yeah, not a tech guy. Go on. Darts. There's been loads.
Yeah.
Let's start off with the Premier League, and then we'll move into the Euro Tour afterwards.
Okay.
Premier League. Stephen Bunting's lost first round again. Now that's going to get tricky. We do a little preview. We have a chat about it. Psychologically wise, it's challenging. We've seen people like Mark Webster develop dartitis off the back of things like Premier League. Now, Luke Humphries made an interesting point, and it's something we've been talking about quite a lot. That walk-on. He says, the problem is Stephen Bunting's got this walk-on and everything. He gets his heart rate up. He takes a couple of legs to settle, and then he's fighting with himself all the way through. Is it time to stop throwing his bloody arms out to the side and singing along to someone else's song? Because it's not character.
Yes, it is time. It's time. It's time to stop that now. We keep saying it. It's time to stop it. I want to see some different things now. I'm desperate now. Now that you've got my juices going on it, I'd like, do you remember when Adrian Lewis ran on stage? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like, I just want to see something different now. I just really want to see somebody do something different and think. In fact, do you know what? I even found myself the other day looking up, and you can find this on YouTube, when Stephen Bunting used to come on to The Bird Is the Word. I much preferred that because he's not really singing along. He's just doing the Family Guy dance, and it's like, oh, that's quite, I quite like that. But yeah, just walking on to Angels, or, well, it's not, is it? It's, what does he do?
Titanium.
Yeah, I was going to say Chandelier then. It's not that.
Yeah, Titanium. Very close.
And singing along.
David Guetta. Yeah.
Yeah, no, we've talked about that enough now. It's yeah. Anyway, that was last week's Premier League. We're not Mystic Meg, so we don't know what's going to happen. By the time you listen to this, this week's will have happened, won't it? And Little has probably won again. In fact, we're predicting now. Little has won again, and he's beat Humphries in the final. I don't know whether that'll work out. But he's playing a bit good, that young man at the moment.
Oh, well, I was on the Pro Tour, wasn't I, the last time our viewers would have heard us. Since we've been able to update. I can give a little bit more update now that Pro Tour's happened and it's done. Jeffrey de Graaf reached the final, which, surprised, we had Adam Lipscomb reach the final on one day, Jeffrey de Graaf reached on the other, Martin Schindler picking up a Pro Tour title.
Yeah.
One thing that was really interesting, though, was with the absence of the real top guys, there's not much difference between the next level and everybody else, because going into the semifinals, yeah, we had like the world number 23, the world number 64, the world number 68. Like, I think when people say the levels are even, put the top eight in that, and it's not. The top eight are heads, and there's like different league. It's like the Premier League in football. The Premier League in football is like three leagues in one. Because you've got your ones that can legitimately back there out at the top. Then you've got your ones that maybe can get into Europe. Then you've got your ones that just do nothing and they're just there. And then you've got, yep, your ones in the relegation battle. You've got like all these little mini games going on.
The question is, which of those is Man United in these days? Yeah. Which of those categories are they in this year? Who knows? Do you know what I wanted to ask you? What would be really good for our viewers? Give us an insight into Pro Tours these days. What's the food like? Has it got any better? Or is it still... pie and chips? Is it really?
Yeah, certainly in Hildesheim, it wasn't. I mean, obviously, we know I went out for a bit of Chateaubriand in the evening, don't
yeah,
we?
Yeah. You saved yourself, yeah, yeah.
But you're not getting a bit of Chateaubriand in the venue. True story. I was at the food counter. Who was I with? I was with Barry Van Peer.
All right.
And we was waiting for some food, and we was having a chat with them for food. And I got to the front, and I saw the selection of food. And I said to them, because you could see the rolls, and I said, oh, what's in them rolls? And there was like, oh, it's meat. And I went, right, okay. I said, what meat is it? And they went, I don't know. Pardon? You don't know what meat it is. I'm like, is it pork? Is it? And they're like, I don't know. I'm like, okay. Could you find someone who does know, please? Because I'd like to know what meat it is.
Yeah, no problems.
So they went off to get the fluent English speaking member of staff who came back, and I went, what meat is that? And there was like, I don't know. Like, okay, what meat's that one then above it? I don't know. I'm like, how do you not know what it is? So then Barry was like, so he spoke in a different language to somebody. And then he turns to me and he goes, they don't know what it is. I'm like, how do you not know what the meat is? Like, how far down the road are we here that we don't know what meat this is? I mean, granted.
Maybe it's horse meat.
Yeah, like if someone came to England, like if someone went to Blackpool, and went in.
You just open the roll up, Matt, and go, is it ham? Is it beef? Is it turkey? Is it chicken? Oh, yeah, it's chicken, mate. Yeah, it's chicken. Right, there you go.
But there is diversity in that in England. We do. We call it a sausage. And we call it a very, like, if you go to Blackpool and you wake up for your breakfast in Big Betty's hotel, and you go downstairs and she's done you the fry up in the morning, and she brings you that sausage that's slightly light brown. You know, the one which is under the skin's got like that clear see-through bit, and you cut that open and you say, what meat's that? And they went, well, everything in there, pal. We don't know exactly what, but there's something. It felt like that, but with everything.
Well, that's weird. Well, I wouldn't like that at all.
No. And you're going to eat in the venue at professional elite level. You don't even know what the meat is. So I ended up eating something I don't really like, which was a slice of pizza. I'm not a pizza fan, but it was the only thing I knew what on earth it was.
Like, you knew it was cheese, tomato, and something else. Yeah, you're like, right, I'm going to be okay with that. Yeah, I'm not. Yeah.
Day two, I had a chocolate muffin because I knew what that was. And on the other things, I didn't know what it was, and no one could tell me what the food was. So I was like, I'm going to just have a chocolate muffin, and I'll wait till my Chateaubriand later on.
So the food hasn't improved in the 12 years since I was there. It's still as bad. Well, it sounds like it's worse. I think we knew what was on the rolls then, so maybe it's got worse. But a big thank you, by the way, to the people. You gave a shout out last week for podcast listeners to go and watch that video, the young players video, and they did. They did. They've been over there. They've commented for the algorithm. Thanks very much for that, guys. Really appreciate it. And welcome to new subscribers as well. Quite a lot of new subscribers this week, so welcome to you guys as well. So, yeah. Lots of love there, Matt. Lots of love, but not much love for the food in Hildesheim.
The Chateau was good. And I tell you what, right? You'll be no surprise to know that this was loaded with dart players. There's a Chinese in Hildesheim. Really good. Nice food, quality food. You get starters, desserts, mains, all you can eat. And
oh, here we go.
The fridges, all you can drink. And proper brands. Coca-Cola, beers, everything. All you can drink. 2 hours, €33. Beer included.
Well, I'm gobsmacked. Because yeah. I know the darts players. They will have got through that in the first 20 minutes.
Beers and food. €33.
Wow. That, and it was good. It was decent.
Good, yeah. Decent.
So that's the equivalent. Is that about £30, something like that these days? That
29, like a, I think it was.
Sounds like a deal and a half, that, Matt.
Yeah. Beer included. You
know, for 2 hours, I know how much some of them can drink in 2 hours. That's like, wow.
I mean, you would hammer you, it. I mean, it's no worse Chardonnay, yeah. You know.
Or, no, there would have been no red Merlot.
You know,
I love how you're doing that with your fingers. That's like, for those of you just listening, you're totally missing out. So I'm not quite sure what Matt was doing with his fingers then. It almost looked like Eric Bristow when he used to hold his darts. It was that kind of thing with the little finger sticking out. But that's what Matt was doing.
Well, that's what you do. We get somewhere and you're like, I remember we went to one on the Rate My Hockey. We got there, the room was cold. So you're downstairs, I want a free bottle of wine. And it's like, and you're doing, you've got a bottle of red wine and you sat there like, oh, yes. I'm like, Andy, none of us drink red wine other than you. Like, so this is a benefit.
Oh, anyway, that's led me onto an email that I've had, Matt, from Christian Hayes. We know Christian, he's a regular on the channel. And he said, could you and Matt, he's called you Matt, Mr. Thinker Vorderman. So he's kind of crossed you over with Carol Vorderman, which, well, that's fair. Here's one for you. Old style boards, pre-blade wires. Okay, so old style. Have a think about this one. What percentage uplift in average would it be from old boards to the boards of today, taking into account the thickness of the wires, the amount of bounce outs they used to get, staples, materials. He said, you mentioned Eric Bristow, funnily enough, who won a couple of world finals with a 97.5 average. What do we think that average would have been on a modern board? Now, he's suggested about a 15% uplift from old to new, which would make Bristow's average around 112. He sort of said, what do you guys reckon? How much more do you reckon it would be? I mean, without us getting a measuring tool out and measuring.
I've done this video. I'm trying to remember it. It was a few years back now. Now, there's a couple of interesting takes I got from it. So I got an old board. Now, including staples, because obviously staples got to be included because it'll increase the bounce outs, increase the risk.
Of course.
But, just because the segment is slightly bigger, I don't think means you can take that 15% and directly link it to average. Because just because the segment's bigger doesn't mean if he's going to miss a dart in the middle part of the 20 up by tops, doesn't mean percentage-wise that's going to have 15% added to it. It's clearly a single 20.
Yeah, I'm guessing just the ones that these days would be on the wire. In those days were on the wire. These days they might be in.
And they're the ones you can compare. Yeah. So you can't compare the overall average and just go like for like straight across. You've got to go, actually, he would have hit six more treble 20s because that would have been in. But actually, when he's hitting in the big part, that's nowhere near, that's non-affected. So it's the smallest percentage than people think it is.
I was thinking, in my head, when I read it before I read his 15%, I was thinking a 97.5 then is about 103 now.
So, I don't think it's 6 points. I don't think
it's even that much.
No, I think
that was me being conservative.
I thought 3 to 4. Conservative. Because, you can only judge the darts that are close to the wire. You can't judge the other ones.
Yeah, and I was thinking more of the bounce outs, though, Matt, because you don't get bounce outs off the wire now. So that can cost you 60 points. That's a lot of points on the floor from those old round wires. God, you could hit them no problem. Darts on the floor all the time. So I was wondering.
We did a video last year, didn't we?
Yeah. It's one of those that's kind of difficult to answer. Yes, of course it was harder then because it was a smaller target. How much we can quantify that, we're kind of guessing. But, John Lowe did his nine darter on the incredible. incredible, you know.
Yeah, I think there's definitely scope in it. It'd definitely be better, but it's not a like for like. The target's 15% bigger, so the average will be 15% bigger.
So let me give you another one, because you know I'm a big Bristow fan while we're talking about him. And, you know, I grew up with him, and he's what got me into darts. But I was talking to somebody the other day, and they're like, oh, Bristow. They were like, yeah, he had nobody else to beat. It was only him. And, yeah, he never had a nine darter on TV. And he was basically just playing him down. And I was like, you do realize there was only about three tournaments a year then. Like, the reason you're seeing Luke Little hit nine darters all the time is because he's playing every week. He's on TV every week. You know, the fact that he had nobody else to beat, I don't agree with that. I think, yeah, maybe you're right in what you said a few minutes ago. I think at Pro Tours now, we're seeing players average 100 averages that perhaps we don't expect. They don't do it all the time, but... Yes, so back in Bristow's day, there were players like me playing on the tour, doing all right, that he would beat quite easily. So I get that. I get that, you know.
No, really... I disagree. I completely disagree.
You don't think so?
No, and I disagree because you're only looking at how that aged. You're not looking at what was at the time. So if I said to you, here right now in 2025, I beat Wayne Jones, you'd be like, and?
Yeah.
But if I said to you in 2011, 2012, 2013, I beat Wayne Jones, that's a good win because Wayne Jones is a serious professional dart player.
True.
If I said to you now, I beat Andy Hamilton, you'd be like, or I beat Wes Newton. But if I beat him in 2016 when they're in the Premier League, different conversation. Incredible. But now, because you're having the conversation now, it's aged in the fact that you now know what they've become and what they are now, and you forget very quickly the quality they had in those years, like 2016, 17, 18, when they was in the Premier League. So I think sometimes it's easy to look back. Like when you look back at Taylor and you go, oh, would you have won so many world championships if he had to play? Well, Dennis Priestley is some serious competition.
Yeah.
But now you look at it and you go, because it's aged in the way that Dennis Priestley's not got that same level, or you forget how good he really was.
Yes. Who was it who famously said I'd have won five world titles had it not been for Phil Taylor? I forget somebody said.
Maybe,
and I think they're very right.
You know, these are all quality players who, you know, just was in the wrong era.
Who was that player? I don't know why this guy's just come into my mind. Left-hander.
James Wade.
Mile High or something?
Mark Hilton.
Mark Hilton. Now, he came along, like, did fantastic and then disappeared, like, never to be seen again. That was a real win.
There you go. A great example. If you beat Mark Hilton during that period of time, that was a good win. But now if you said, I beat Mark Hilton, it'd be like, and?
So I
completely disagree when people look back in time because the aging of it, so to speak. Like, I'm going to... Some people probably think I'm talking nonsense here, but I'm going to give you my view on it. I used to call myself the standard bearer of PDC Pro Tour darts.
Oh, you've mentioned this before,
And the reason was I was always in the middle ranks. I was always somewhere between that 64 position. So for me, I was the standard. If you look at, if you go, I want to go on the tour, you don't go, can I beat Luke Humphries? Because that's the elite of it. You go, if I want to go on the tour, I want to keep my card. Who are the people that are in that position that are doing so? There. And it was the people like me, Steve Lennon, William O'Connor, those sort of people that are around that position. They're the standard bearers. They're the people that if you're going on the tour, you aim, can I beat them?
Yeah.
And, you know, when I was there as that sort of standard bearer, regular sort of 90-ish sort of average guy, having a win against me would have had a little bit of, okay, well, now I can go compete on the tour. Now, if you beat me, it's like, well, no bearing to kind of go play on the tour, has it? So it's just in what era and what age. Now, if you go back to the day Bristow was playing and you talk about the likes of John Lowe and people like that, and then you were to say, well, you're not beating anyone, they'd be like, are you kidding? Look at this.
Yeah.
Look at this. And it's like now when you look at Luke Littler and you go, well, the levels are lower. And it's like, well, in years' time, you could dismiss a lot of his competition. You go, oh, well, Peter Wright was on the slide, this, that, the other. And when you look back on things and you know the answers, it's easier to to have that conversation. But when you're in the moment and questions are there, different. Then it's psychological as well. So, yeah, I do disagree.
Love that, man. Love that. Yeah. Really good. No, really good take on it. Got another email. We're getting emails now as well as comments, mate. They're flying in. This is from Ivan Fletcher, who said, a question for the podcast. If you or Matt could appear on any TV game show, past or present, what would it be? In brackets, you can't pick Bullseye.
I know already.
Oh, I do as well.
All right.
Ooh, mine's not going to be yours. Definitely not.
Okay, I'll tell you what then. I'll write mine down on a bit of paper.
I've got mine written down here, yeah. I've got it. I think I've got it. Okay, I've got a guess anyway. Those at home, play along now.
I've got
play
a couple. Along. What? I'll put my other ones here as well.
Blimey. He's only asking for one. He's not saying you've got a week of game shows. How many
I'm just putting the other ones down just in case you were...
All right. Well, I've already been on one. If you can call it a game show, it was a TV cookery thing, but we won. But I'll not mention that. I'm not flexing that
today. Go on, then. What are you going for?
Right. So my guess for you, Matt, is The Price is Right.
Oh, no, that is actually on my...
Is it? Yes!
Funhouse.
Oh, what have you... Funhouse? Oh, you got Strike It Lucky, yeah? Oh, play your cards.
Prizes to be won.
I don't remember it, Matt. I don't remember it.
Funhouse.
No?
It's basically like a show that happens in like a children's play area. Great. And then Strike It Lucky. Remember
that? Yeah, I remember Strike It Lucky. That was Michael Barrymore. Play your cards right, Brucey. Brucey Forsyth.
Which was what we're going to do now. We're going to play a game of Play Your Darts Right. Insert jingle here.
Did you not want to hear what my game show was
then? Oh, go on then.
Go on, you've got to have a guess. I tried to guess yours.
I'm going to guess game show you would want to be on. What's that one?
What you're going to say now?
Oh, what was it? Noel Edmonds' House Party.
Oh, that's a good show. It's not that. Well, yeah, that was good fun, wasn't it? It's actually a modern day one. You might not have even seen it. It's called Anton the 1%
Takeaway.
The 1% Club.
Yeah, you strike me as one of those boring people. I want to go on a gate. I want to go on a quiz show. I want to go on the chase. I want to see if I can outquiz someone.
Why are you saying it in that accent? What are you doing, Matt?
I want to go on a quiz. Yeah. Not Funhouse. I don't want to run around and have fun.
Yeah, I want to win 100 grand, mate. I want to win 100 grand. That's what it is. Anyway, something you've not noticed, and I can see in the background, you know your green up lights?
Yeah.
It makes it look like there's an arrow. Can you see it? Just turn around. In between your two, because it's creating a triangle at the bottom, and there's a line in between. I don't know why I'm pointing, because you can't see what I'm pointing at. But because it's created a triangle at the bottom, and then you've got the line in between the two pictures, it looks like a green arrow.
Pictures. Really? Shirts, yeah. Pictures.
All right.
Let's play a game. Okay. Play along at home.
All right.
This is Play Your Darts Right. Ding, 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 ding. Okay.
Tune. Right, good.
I'm going to give you a player in the order of merit of darts. And... I'm then going to give you another player, and you've got to tell me if they're ranked higher or lower.
Oh, this is going to be hard.
Brendan Dolan is the PDC world number 34.
Yep.
Is Scott Williams ranked higher or lower?
So let me get the word. If I say higher, I mean nearer to one. And if I say lower, I mean, yeah, okay. So higher. Lower than anything,
yeah. You think Scott Williams higher. Is higher ranked than Brendan Dolan?
Yeah, I think he's about 31, is he?
Okay, well, that's wrong. So we'll start again.
I got higher, right?
Okay. Ryan Joyce, which we'll talk about soon. He's got three places to the world number 26 in the rankings.
Yes.
Is Gian Van Veen higher or lower ranked than Ryan Joyce?
He's lower. I looked the other day. He's about 30-something.
Oh, you're terrible at this game. Okay. Let's try another one.
Why? Am I supposed to be getting them wrong?
You're terrible. Like, right.
I just got it right.
No, you didn't. He's wrong. Jan van Veen's still... Right, okay.
Why? What number is he? What number is Jan van Veen?
24.
Oh, Christ. Oh, I got both of them wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Right, okay. Let's see if we can get you started. Luke Humphrey, the world number one.
Yeah.
Is James Wade ranked higher or lower?
Lower. One out of three. Right, we're on a roll now. We're on a roll.
Right. So James Wade, right, is Josh Rock ranked higher or lower than James Wade?
Oh. Lower.
Hey!
Yeah, 2 out of 2.
Hey,
oh,
we're up and running now.
That was a toughie. Right, go on. One more.
Recent mission signing Mike Dedeker. Is he higher or lower than Josh Rock?
Lower.
He is correct. Yes. We're rolling. Okay, here's a tricky one then. Ryan Searle. Is Ryan Searle higher or lower than Mike Dedeker?
He's got to be higher.
Just very tight one.
Is he?
Yeah.
I thought he was top 16. Is he not anymore?
Ryan Searle's 19th.
Wow. Wow. Oh, so I've nailed it now. It's like four on the trot, Matt. You know, clearly.
Okay, then. Yeah. Let's take it up a level then. Ryan Searle, Dimitri
is lower.
He is.
You found my gap here now between sort of 25 and 16. Yeah.
Dimitri Vandenberg.
Yeah.
Martin Schindler.
Oh, that's horrible. Because Martin's just won a pro tour. He's had a good Euros. He's still got to be lower than Dimitri.
He is.
Yes.
He is.
Wow.
Right. Okay. Let's really ramp it up. Martin Schindler or Joe Cullen?
Wow. Joe's got to be higher.
He's not. £8,000 in it. Joe Cullen's behind Martin Schindler.
Wow. There you go. Well, that was a fun game. I like that.
I'm going to reborn an old game I used to play. This game is called Wiki Wiki Darts. I used to play this on. Wiki Wiki Darts.
Okay.
Wiki Wiki Darts. I used to play this on my own channel, certainly during lockdown when people didn't really have a lot to do. Wiki Wiki Darts. Okay. So let me just find some.
Loving the games this week.
Let me just think of someone. 2 seconds. Let's go with who would you know that's going to be tricky? I know. I'm going to go with this one.
I don't know because I don't know what the game is.
Okay. So Wiki Wiki Darts is I am just Wikipedia'd a player. I'm going to tell you the achievements of the player. You've got to tell me who it is.
Oh, my God. This is horrible.
Okay. So.
Unless you make it easy.
I'll start off with the player's best run at the World Championships came in 2000.
Hang on, headphone fell out. I've only got one in and it fell out. Right, go on, start again.
In 2007, this player made his best run at the World Championships, reaching the quarterfinals. He then got to the quarterfinals of the World Match Play in 2008. He went to the last 16 of the World Grand Prix on two occasions, 2007 and 2011, but his best TV run came in the semi-finals of the UK Open. That was back in 2006. Played in the Grand Slam, the European Championship, the Champions League of Darts, the Desert Classic, and the Players' Championship Final. He was a 4-time Challenge Tour winner and 3-time Pro Tour winner. Those Pro Tour titles in 2008 and one in 2006.
Vincent van der Voort?
It's not Vincent van der Voort.
You threw me with the Challenge Tour winners.
So yeah, Challenge Tour winners, I can tell you the dates of those. He won the Challenge Tours in 2014. He won three of them, and he won another one in 2017. Oh, did so go back to the Pro Tour.
Off the tour, yeah.
He came off the tour, but he went back to the Pro Tour and qualified for the World Championships in 2019. That was the last World Championships he qualified for, and he reached the second round on that occasion.
Wow, that's difficult.
Beat Raymond Smith in the opening round.
I mean, even if you just said somebody that was on the Pro Tour went back to the Challenge Tour and then came back on the Pro Tour, you kind of lost me there. I can't even think of anybody that's done that.
See if
it's not you, is it?
See if I can find who he lost to.
I hope there's somebody now shouting.
Michael Van Derwin.
I hope there's somebody shouting at the knows the answer to this.
Oh, there will be. Do you know what? Maybe, Andy, I've just stumbled across some new content here. Maybe it could be something for the podcast channel. Mm. Maybe what we should do is do a darts quiz, like once a week, where we just ask some darts questions. I've been here on this channel. Let us know if you think that's something you'd be interested in.
Yeah.
Just like a 5-10 minute video darts quiz, where we look at some dart related questions for you.
Yeah, I've got to be honest. Dubridge?
No, and you've had three guesses, so three guesses.
Yeah.
The answer is Alan Tabban.
Oh, of course. Oh, my God, how did I not remember that? Because when he got his tour card back, he beat my best mate in the final.
Do you want another one?
He did. That's a fact. That's a fact. My mate Steve, he beat him in the final to get his tour card back.
Do you want another one?
Wow. Go on.
Right, okay. So... this player has won 5 Pro Tour titles. Mm-hmm. In 2007, he broke into the world's top 10. Alongside that, he had a major TV final. That was in 2009, the UK Open at the Reebok Stadium in Bolton. The following year, 2010, reached the semi-final of the Players' Championship Finals. Best run at the World Championships was 2007, reaching the quarter-final stage. Everything else last 16. World Match Play, World Grand Prix, Grand Slam, Euros, Desert Classic, US Open. But the runner-up of the 2009 UK Open, that could be the big clue.
2009, so... 16.
5-time Pro Tour winner.
Did you say he played in the Premier League or not?
Not played in the Premier League.
Runner-up, UK Open, 16 years ago. Not Andy Hamilton. Not Wes. 16 years ago. Give me a clue. Is he still playing?
I just gave you a clue. I gave you 20 clues. I said he was the World Championship quarterfinalist in 2007. He's won 5 Pro Tours, a Players' Championship semi-finalist. He had a 9-darter, was in the top 10 in 2007. I'll give you a clue. He's also good at table tennis, yo-yoing, golf and snooker.
Yeah, that's helped.
Last World Championship appearance was 2014, losing to Brendan Dolan.
Terry Jenkins?
No.
Oh, thought I had it then.
The UK Open, he got to the final, lost to Phil Taylor 11-6.
Chizzy?
No.
I'm bad at this game, clearly. Who is it?
Colin Osborne.
Oh, the wizard. Oh, you should have said shares a nickname with another very famous dart player.
Oh, I could have also said his first name's Colin and his second name is very similar to Ozzy.
He's now called Ozzy. Yeah. No. Right. You've just brought me on a question that I was going to ask you and I'd forgotten it. I'd thought about it in the week. I thought, I must ask Matt on the podcast. Can you share a walk-on song with somebody else?
No.
Can you not?
No.
So if somebody else has got that song, you can't have it no matter what?
No.
Ah. I don't know why that just came to me in the week. I
and there's some that they won't let you use. Like, they won't let you use I've Got the Power. I got the power.
Yeah, funnily enough, I know that one. You know, I've heard it one or two times over the years. Do you know who sung that song, The Power?
Just me. I just did it then.
No, who sung Phil Taylor's walk-on song?
Snap.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Right, Snap. On that point, I'm going to give you some comments from this week, Matt.
Ooh.
A forgotten Native America 8439, what a handle that is, said, this is in relation to us talking about whether you should have a time limit. When playing soft tip tournaments in America, there is a shot clock. Didn't know that, did you?
Mm-hmm.
They have a shot clock. You got to throw within a certain period of time. Which I suppose in soft tip, because we did say, oh, what if your dart falls out, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, they have a shot clock. Alfie Marston, 4807, has said, now that the podcast has earned over £1, which you mentioned last week, make sure you contact your accountants to find out if you owe any tax money. Which is in reference to what we were talking about. And then he said, I hope Matt doesn't have a dog. That bit lost me. I don't know. I don't know where that bit came from. Okay. This is David Cry, 9891. Online Darts played a Mervyn King clip of an interview. The question was his best suggestion to new card holders. His answer was, have two sets of books. So I'm going to have to give that comment of the week. That's made us both laugh. So David Cry, 9891, drop me an email, youtube@missiondarts.com. I'll send you some goodies. That's made us both laugh. Reactor Fan has said, would be interested in hearing the thoughts from both of you regarding Q School. Do you think there should be a set standard you have to meet before being allowed to enter? Maybe having a pre-event qualifier where you play a set amount of darts, blah, blah, blah. If you're not of an average, over a certain average, you shouldn't be allowed to enter Q School. I know it doesn't guarantee better performances, but right now, there's too many people throwing who are just there for a jolly.
Yeah.
Interesting point.
I agree.
What's your take?
A Q School is designed and implemented to give people the opportunity to play on the professional tour. It's not there for people to turn up and have a bit of fun or to see where my game is or to do all these different things. That's not what Q School's for. Q School is to get on the professional tour. And the problem is it's becoming something that it shouldn't be. And I get it. Like, if you said to me, Eric Cantona, Ryan Giggs, Dwight York, they're going to be running trials for Man United. You're going to turn up. You're going to have trials for Man United. While you're there, you're probably going to be playing alongside some other sort of professionals or decent players who are going to be trying to get on there. I'd be like, here's my £400. I'm on my way.
Yeah.
So, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. Man United
hit play on Old Trafford. Yeah. Brilliant. And the problem is, it's a free-for-all at the moment. And the other problem is, at the moment, it's very profitable. So are you going to change? What's the priority? Is it a profitability or is it to make the best players? And we know it's not to find the best players, because if they wanted to find the best players, they'd use the challenge tour. So yeah. I don't agree Q School's in its best form. I don't think any expert pundit player believes it is. But also, is it possible to change it? And how do you implement that change? Like, how does that change happen?
That's the hardest bit, isn't it? I agree with everything you've said. And how would you implement that? How do you say, sorry, mate, you're not good enough to play in this? Well, prove it. You know, how do you prove that? But you're right. I can't think of another sport where you can rock up with your £500 and they go, oh, yeah, mate. Yeah. Do you want to play in the Open? Golf. Yeah. Yeah. Just, it gives you £500, mate. You're in. You know, it's, you can go and qualify. I'd be straight there. You can't. So that's wrong. But how do they implement it? Because all other sports have amateur rankings. So, for example, golf, you have a handicap. You very, very good. You're off scratch or plus one or whatever. Tennis, it's ranked. So how on earth would you do it without an amateur ranking system? I'm not sure, but I agree with what you said. Wayne JD3RJ has said, it should be like in pool. When you pot the white and you put the ball down on the table, you have to... Oh, he's talking about the shot clock. Right. So in pool, when you pot the white, once you put the ball on the table, you have to take your shot. But in darts, once you touch the hockey, you then shouldn't be able to go back and do whatever you want. That's interesting. So what he's saying is once you toe the hockey, you can't then go, oh, actually, I'll go and have a drink. Once you've touched that hockey, right, it's time to throw your darts now. Does that work?
What if you drop a dart?
Well, you can pick it up. I mean, I don't think he's saying you're then stuck
what if, to it. What if you're about to toe the hockey and then a fight breaks out in the front row? I mean, it's exaggerated versions, but let's say, for example, someone just starts whistling and it puts you off in three sets.
You toe the hockey and the fire alarm goes off.
Or, sorry, mate. You misgrip a dart. You know when you pass the dart left to right and you misgrip it and sometimes you just reset and go back to it again. I think from a player's point of view, I wouldn't like it.
I think it's quite a few people buying into the slow play. It's not slow play as much as messing about, I would say. There's more messing about now than what there used to be, Matt. Anyway, moving on. Skier, sailor, biker guy. Cracky, he's busy. I said, loving the Rate My Hockey series. We'll be watching the older ones too. Good luck with that, especially when you get back to series one. They look a bit different. Matt, turn that auto brightness on. I've been only recently discovered it, and also this podcast. Anyway, any thoughts regarding a Rate My Hockey map where we can see each location that you've been to and its scores? I travel around a lot for work, so it would be great to see where it's convenient to stop in and have a game, a bit like a mission darts map. I thought that was pretty good.
What a fantastic idea.
Isn't it? To be fair.
Fantastic idea.
Yeah, brilliant. Why have we not done that?
An interactive map on the website where it clicks and takes you to the episode that we've got.
Got to be done, hasn't it?
Can we incorporate that in somehow with someone else's website who's got like... or if we got that made and done, we could incorporate that into other people's websites who do like where to find tournaments or where to find things, because then they could show where to find venues. And people always want to know where a darts venue is. So,
really good.
That's a fantastic idea. I'm glad we come up with that, Andy.
Yes, great idea we've had that, Matt. So thanks for that, skier, sailor, biker guy. he's not too busy for ideas. Brilliant. I've got one more. This is quite a long one. This is from the chimney guy. I wonder if he's a chimney sweep or something like that. Don't see many of them these days. Hi, Matt and Andy. The controversial topic of walk-ons. I was watching the TV show Gladiators on Saturday night and had a thought. Is that still on? And it's back on, isn't it?
Remade.
And had a thought. What if dart players walked on to an action that mimicked their nickname? For example, when the Gladiator Saber walks on, she mimics a saber-toothed tiger, blah, blah, blah. How about Stephen Bunting being fired from a giant gun barrel onto stage? Or Gary Anderson swung onto stage by cables wearing a pair of feathered wings. These are extreme examples, I know, but the concept is good. Don't you agree? Great to hear some ideas from yourself. Blah, blah, blah.
Well, let's pull the rankings up and see what we've got. I mean, Luke Little is going to be a bit disappointing, isn't he?
Boom!
Where's he gone? And the rest of the crowd, you know. Yeah, that was a short-lived night. I'm just having a look at some of the other ones we've got here. Johnny Clayton, he could put some beaver teeth in, couldn't he?
Luke Humphries, cool hand Luke, could come on with some like
ice blocks,
ice gloves. Yeah.
What we got here? James Wade comes on doing the robot.
Oh, brilliant. Love it.
What love about Peter Wright comes down with a load of venomous snakes on the entrance.
Round his neck.
And he's got to get on stage without being savaged by the snakes.
Like Indiana Jones.
Yes, there you go. Ryan Searle comes on with guitar.
How entertaining would this be? As opposed to the nonsense that we're currently getting, you know. Or Nathan Aspinall comes at the same time, and he's got snakes as well. Snake off. Who else have we got?
Someone looks like a really good one.
What's Chris Dobie? Oh, he's Hollywood, isn't he? I don't know quite.
Yeah, he just comes out with a pair of sunglasses on and what have you. Nothing exciting there.
No.
I'm trying to see if I can find a real good one.
Gerwin Price. Has to come on, has to get in an ice bath before he comes on, and it comes on absolutely frozen solid. They have to defrost him on stage with some like hair dryers, like get the ice off him. Oh dear!
Full on Austin Powers.
What other nicknames have we got? I'm trying to think of.
I'm just going to do the rankings now, seeing if I can find a good one. I don't think there is one here actually.
Is there no more?
Oh, Michael Smith recreates the... Oh, God, I just nearly turned the stream off then. Michael Smith comes on recreating the Bob Anderson horse, but he comes on riding a bull.
Oh, yes. Oh, right.
Stay on that, Mike.
Yeah. Oh, they've got one of them bull machines on stage. Yeah, and he has to get on it on stage and see how long he can stay on. You broke your chair.
Wasn't it going back anymore? Oh, that's down. Where's the lock on this? There we go. As I was saying,
That's a game we should play when we've... Yeah, it is. There you go. We should play a game maybe next week where it's... Oh, no, because that'll give you time to think about it. I have to play it now. Dart players that have got an animal in their nickname. Go on, you can start.
Oh, we're actually doing it.
Yeah. Well, I can't say we'll do it next week because then you'll be like, yeah, I've got 87 here, Andy. Yeah, I'll go Peter Wright then.
Dave Chisnell.
Hey? Chizzy?
Yeah, Chizzy.
Where's the animal?
It's the, it's like that chameleon thing, isn't it? Like that lizard.
Is it?
Yeah.
You've lost me with that. Yeah, anyway. Exactly. Terry Jenkins, the bull.
Michael Smith.
Yeah, I knew you were going to do that. Barney, Eye of the Tiger.
That's not his nickname.
It's related to him.
No, you said nickname. You can't go for song.
To be fair, you said Chizzy, and I don't think anybody believes that's a lizard.
You can't have Barney.
Are there any others? Who's got a bear? Somebody's got a bear on his back. Who's got a... Ted Evers. He's got a bear, hasn't he?
Super Ted. It's a teddy bear.
Is that not a bear?
No, that's not an animal. It's a stuffed toy.
It's a bear. Teddy,
you can't have
bear.
A teddy.
You can't just say no to everything just because you can't think of another one. Just because you're out of animals now, Edgar. You can't have a teddy. Anyway.
You can't have a teddy. That's terrible. That is stretching.
Oh, Yella Klassen.
Oh, I've got one. Jeffrey does one.
What does he have?
The Black Cobra.
Oh, yeah, he does, doesn't he? Yeah. Yeah, he does. Yeah, that's a good one.
Are you accepting defeat?
No, never. Never. I can still see somebody with a full-size bear on his back, and I don't know who it is. Should be somebody like Boris Kretschmar or something like that. He should have a bear. In fact, you commentated last week. Talk me through, what is that logo on his back? It looks like he's royalty. It looks like it's a, it looks like the royal crest on the middle of his shirt. Boris Kretschmer.
Oh, we could have what he wants on his shirt. You can have a picture of me naked if he wants it on his shirt. Like, it's fine. Yeah, like, you can have whatever he wants.
I know he can have whatever he wants, but do you know what it is? That was my question. No, you don't.
And I'm not going to ask him either.
Are you going to, you don't fancy wrestling him?
No.
There's one for you. I'll have Boris Kretschmer. Who are you having that takes him on in a wrestling match? Dart player.
Are we doing it tag team style?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
so my team is Boris Kretschmer and Dennis Nielsen. They're my two. Who are you two that's taking him on?
I thought you had to be in there with him.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, all right, then. Me and Boris, then, yeah. You can't have Dennis. Who are you having? Who's going in with you?
Andrew Gilding.
No. He's not going to wrestle. He doesn't make softy.
Yes, but I also think he'll run really slow, so I will get away first. So while you're beating up Andrew Gilding, I'll be off. Didn't say we had to win the fight. We didn't say we had to win the fight. I just have to survive.
Always thinking, mate, aren't you? I don't know. Always got a way out. Anyway, on that note, after having visions of being sat on by Andrew Gilding, I think I'm done. For another week. Don't forget to like and subscribe, guys. Don't forget to watch the other channel as well, our main Mission Darts channel. And we'll catch you same time